We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Seeing a star now.
You're seeing a star.
Okay. Gray star?
A gray star.
What's that?
Dallas.
Football-wise, it's the best fit in the NFL.
You're in the biggest market. You have a great offensive line. You have a great running back. You have tons of assets. And I will throw in the Jerry Jones factor.
You open the door and run to the woods and either die bleeding to death or shot.
But Gray could also be Raiders. Silver's Gray.
Don't confuse.
I know Christian very well. When he speaks about Tom Brady or the New England Patriots, I listen.
Christian Fourier, he's super hot.
Yeah, yell at me.
I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. My favorite player was Stan Musial. My heart would have been broken if Stan the man had ever been traded for any reason.
Let's go back to 1955.
Some of you no doubt felt the same way in 2004 when we traded Nomar.
It's over!
I understand there's probably little I can say today that will change how you feel about this, but it's my responsibility to try.
Right now.
Has it in a cage?
So boring.
Meeting with the glove guy, smelling the leather.
It's like, that's one day.
Yeah, smell this.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Got to tell you, Lou was doing fine until John Henry brought up the trade of Nomar. And then he just totally broke down into pieces. It was a mess from that point on, like a wet puddle.
The table. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Why'd you do it, John?
They're going to bring it back. Open up old wounds, John. Jesus.
Can I start with with this, because I've watched the reaction to John Henry. John Henry decided today, you know what? We're getting just killed out there in the marketplace. Fans are killing us. Media is killing us. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to put together a couple pages. I'm going to sit down. Linda, help me write a little essay here for the people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put together something really nice and try to explain the whole thing. Because
can you all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, John. Because I'm being misunderstood. And people are beating the living crap out of this guy for the last couple of days. And I'm going to say this, and I've had a chance to spend a little bit of time with John Henry over the years. I think he's very misunderstood. And I say that I am far more positive about John Henry than a lot of other people are. And I know Lou spent some time with him as well. And maybe he can express his own opinion on this.
Hi,
John. I think he tried today. Now, it didn't come off real well, but I do believe some of the things we were talking about last week, Lou, when we were sitting there going, you got to explain to the public what you're trying to do. And I think he tried to do that. He tried to explain the business model and other teams and what you have to do. But when it was all said and done, you could see the reaction. And people would say, but you lost Mookie Betts. What happened to Mookie Betts? That was the reaction.
Yeah, see, I didn't see the reaction because I'm down here in beautiful Fort Myers. Where it's
80 degrees. Shut up. We'll be there Wednesday. Yeah.
My reaction was I liked the prepared statement from John. You know, I'm not that I want to compare him to Donald Trump, but when he stays on script, you know what I mean? When he stays on script, this is a guy that only communicates in email, so he can spend some time and thinking it through and putting words on paper or whatever it might be.
Stan the man had ever been traded for.
Yeah, it's when you know the statement's over, and then you start asking him live questions. He is not good at that.
No.
Or, you know, he's not comfortable with that. He'll say things that people come back weeks later and say, dude, you said CBT in September. Now you're saying it's media driven. And it's just like, oh, boy. So I think he tried to clear it up in a statement.
No, he had Sam Kennedy do a lot of the talking today, which is not unusual because Sam is the president. But Sam doesn't usually deal with baseball issues. And apparently maybe he is doing more of that right now. But you're right. He felt uncomfortable, and so, Sam, you take
over. See, I just wish that they would just allow him, or he would just allow himself to be that crazy uncle that's a little drunk
on
Christmas.
Him, that's not
That's
him.
Just, you know, because the alternative is just hypocritical. Geek. It's fake. You can tell that he wants to say more, and I'm fine with him.
I don't
think
it's fake.
My point is, like, what it's fake is him trying to control himself and try not be himself because he wants to say what he wants to say, and I don't care what it is. I would rather sit there and say, that's our guy. Yeah, I know he's a little nutty. He's a little crazy. He's all over the place. but the dude's a winner. The dude spends money. Instead, it just, every time they speak, especially John, I feel like the media, it's like this grand inquisition. It's like, how can we get him? Tell us the truth. Like, he's on stand. He's on trial.
Yeah, but
he's constantly trying to protect himself or not saying something that paints a terrible picture. And it's okay if you screw up.
Yeah.
I just don't see what the big deal is.
I disagree with you. I think he is acting the way he normally acts. He's being himself. I think what's going on here.
No, but under the filter of, listen, I got to be careful with what I say.
Too
careful.
Okay.
You think that he's, I feel like he's being himself also. That's not my point.
Yeah. I'll say this. There was a few times in that press conference where I had actually asked a question about, like, the fans just say pay the guy what he wants. Was there a point when, you just realized you weren't going to be able to sign him? And John almost kind of leaned and then sort of smiled and sat back and looked at Tom.
Good.
There's a lot of, I would like to answer this, but I probably shouldn't, Tom, Sam, because, he just feels like he will tell you too much, or then it'll come back to bite him. So he's really guarded in those settings.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to speak. He's not comfortable, and that's just the reality of who he is.
So I watched the whole thing, and Christian watched the whole thing, and we want to applaud you because as that was going on, you used an old technique, and that is, I'm going to continue to ask the question. And you didn't stop, and the question went on
if Glenn Ordway had died, we would say
you,
Glenn Ordway would be proud.
Lou,
I didn't know
how, I was proud of you.
Is he still talking?
I worked with Glenn. I learned from the best.
I don't know about that. So the one thing I would say is, here's what's driving him crazy right now. And we've seen this before. This is a guy, when he didn't like another talk show that didn't have a partnership with the Red Sox, when they were going off on the air and saying certain things, and even to bring his wife into the conversation, what did he do? He drove over to their studios, which is the exact studio we're in right now, and he walked in unannounced, uninvited, and sat down and was willing to talk for an hour, and he hurt himself by doing so. Exactly. It was awful, terrible, because he was driving in the car, and he couldn't deal with it. So here's what's driving him crazy right now. And Lou's brought this point up many times. Cheap. He's hearing cheap. And he's looking at it saying, cheap? The last thing I am is cheap. And he's right. They're not cheap. Go look at their payroll. Go look at it for all 19 years. Top three virtually every single year. Many times number one, as they were last year. And it's driving him crazy. He can't understand that people are going to overreact because some people like Mookie Betts. They don't like the return. And so they're going to call you cheap. Suck it up. Just let it go. He also now is looking at his business. They admitted, you noticed that, Lou? They came out and said they're down 15% right now with ticket sales. So now he's seeing the business being hit by it. He knows there are going to be more empty seats. He knows that sponsorships are now
thinking twice about signing on. Do you think that's all Mookie?
No, I think it's a lot
of
things.
Good. I don't want this narrative to be out there that it's just Mookie.
No, it's baseball as well.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing some of the polls right now and surveys that are being done about what Houston just did. And most people think it's far worse than steroids or anything else that's ever happened in baseball. So they're part of all that. But I don't think, and you tell me, Lou, you've dealt with them, I don't think he can stand people calling him names, and then he looks at his business and he says, but the people are going to walk away from my games. Why is this happening? And he almost feels the need to go in there and explain what we're doing here, and yet he's not real good at it.
No, and he's not. I do think this, the feeling, the perception that he is cheap, and you hear it all the time. And I mean, those people, I don't even know if they believe what they're saying or if they just want to join a crowd on Twitter, to say that this organization is cheap, I mean, it really does. It kind of sounds foolish, and really he should just ignore it. You know what I mean? Because the history kind of shows that obviously they're not, right? But so I personally don't know if that really bothers him. But I don't think that's something you should come out and pound your chest and really let it bother you. I mean, people say a lot of things about individuals that if you know, you sit there and say, well, it's obviously not true. So why should I even let it bother me?
It bothers them.
Yeah, I just and there's nothing we can do about that.
No.
Because I just feel like in any city with any sport, if you had this much success and the period of time that the Red Sox have with the same owner contributing resources and being really passionate about winning. Sure, he makes some mistakes. Sure, who doesn't, right? You would think he would be beloved, respected, trusted. Trusted is the most important thing. Hey, listen, trust me, guys. I know what I'm doing. I just didn't win one. I won four, and I'm going to do it again. Watch me, okay? It's just going to be some pain here. There's going to be some resetting. We're going to have to start over again. Sure. So you know what? I misspoke. So what? You can trust me, though. I'm going to bring another championship to Boston. The track record's pretty damn good.
I just felt like they fell short. And, I mean, I tried to get it out of them. I think Buster only tried to get it out of them and others to where, I don't think there's anything wrong if they came out and said, listen, yes, we sat down with Mookie. We knew the figure that he wanted. We knew how far we were willing to go. And this is more of a baseball, payroll situation around the league, the system itself, that we don't think that it's responsible to give a guy $10, $12 million, in today's game. We just don't. And we decided not to. So because of that, we traded him. Yeah, I think that would be just, I think people would be like, whoa, Jesus, what the hell? Did they just admit that? Wow. Which is their right, right?
Yeah, I want him to do that, Lou. I want him to be open like that. Instead, what he was doing today is he was talking about the history of the game and how the players today, like Mookie Betts, deserve this opportunity at free agency. Right, that all those guys were denied it, and then they had to go to Mexico. And they had, oh, my God, he went through all of that stuff. And I'm sitting there going, not the best way of approaching. I did finally figure out what he was talking about. I finally did my John Henry translation here and finally figured out what he means when he tells us it's a goal, not a mandate, with this whole CBT thing. And he could have been far more expressive of it today, but I think I read between the lines, and I think I know what he was saying. I'll tell you when
I'll be curious, Big O. Yeah.
And then we'll hear from John. We'll hear some John Henry stuff from today. We got a lot of stuff to get to, including the XFL Week 2, the NBA All-Star Game, and there's even some Brady stuff out there. Boy, there are a lot of people jumping all over Fourier.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
In today's game, there's a cost to losing a great player to free agency, one that cannot nearly be made up by the draft pick given. We at the Red Sox will remember this as one of the toughest, one of the most difficult decisions we've ever had to make. We felt we could not sit on our hands and lose him this next offseason without getting value in return to help us on our path forward.
John Henry actually did a pretty decent job explaining it right there. But then, when somebody started asking him questions about not willing to say it was about the competitive balance tax, he really is hung up on that one. It's a media creation. He does not want to go
like he's
there.
Lying.
Right.
These even though we're calling him a liar.
Even though he's the one that originally said it. And even though Tom Warner, shortly after he answered the question about CBT when they were talking about Mookie Betts, he talked about this trade giving us tremendous flexibility. And then again said, this really gives us flexibility. Yeah, it gives you flexibility because you got below the CBT. But we talked about this last week, and he keeps on saying it was a goal, not a mandate, and that the Mookie Betts trade really is not tied in with CBT. So here's what I think he might be telling us. If we could have signed Mookie Betts at a bargain deal right now and extend him before he goes, to spring training, and they obviously offered him a deal. Lou brought this point up, and I think Lou's information is pretty solid of what they were willing to offer him. If he were willing to do that, it would then be worth it for them for a short period of time here to go over it and then maybe find another source, another trade, something else to actually get under it so that they can reset and then Mookie becomes part of the next 10 years of this franchise. That fair?
Yeah, I would say that that because that quote, I think, is getting a lot of attention. And I think with Silverman's article yesterday, like he really presented, you know, and sort of left it out there, right, without kind of any back and forth. But I don't think trading Mookie had anything to do with the CBT, like he said. I don't. I think it had everything to do with the fact that they knew they couldn't re-sign him. Or how about this? They weren't willing to pay him what he wanted, maybe a better way of putting it. And with that in mind, are you just going to let the, you know, the player walk at the end of the year? And that had everything to do with why he was traded. It was not about, hey, if we trade Mookie, we can get under the CBT. I think if their payroll was at $200 million with Mookie on the team, they still would have traded Mookie Betts with 1 year remaining, knowing that he was gone, that they weren't willing to pay him what he wanted. It had nothing to do with the CBT. Now, David Price's inclusion, I think, might have been, right? Okay, yeah. I mean, because that guaranteed that you would.
Yeah.
But I just, Mookie, and I know he's getting a lot of heat for that, and especially after the Silverman article, but I think it had more to do with, we're just going to let him walk. He'd mentioned draft pick compensation. You get a fifth-round draft pick for Mookie Betts? Then what will you say about us? What will you say then about management for letting a guy like that leave for a fifth-round pick? They moved him because they knew they weren't going to resign him. They wanted to get something for them, which will give them flexibility in the future, which will give them assets, whatever.
Listen, I think you have to do it. I said it well before they made this deal. You have to do it. You have no choice. But I think what they would have done is if they could get him at their price, he's a guy you could depend on at 27 years of age for the next 10 years. What they would have done is they would have found another avenue to try to see if they could deal Price or part of his money. Maybe JD goes in a deal somewhere. He's part of that deal with Price and something else so that you can, you know, Bradley or whatever, so that you can unload money. They would have found another way. And that's why I think he's hung up on it. And so technically, he's telling the truth. But overall, your goal was to get under that $208 million mark. And when you came to the conclusion that there was no freaking way that Mookie Betts was going to sign a deal, then you got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
And here's what's weird. I think everybody, I think there's some fake outrage involved with this Mookie trade.
They don't like the organization right now. They're down on the organization.
It's like, okay, so everybody knows that this is the way it has to be. You're not going to give him $400 million. Don't be stupid, right? Just like the Dallas Cowboys don't give him Dak Prescott $40 million a year. Mookie Betts is not going to get, 12 years, $400-something million. It's not going to happen. So fine. And everybody realizes that. So the best-case scenario, although not a popular one, is the fact that, well, you guys, we can't sign him. We tried multiple times. We're not going to – we were crazy, but we're not stupid. So we're not going to give him that money. So we're going to trade him. Wow, look what you got for him. And even to the point where they talk about Verdugo and the other guys. Who's the other guys?
Downs.
Jeter.
Jeter. And was it Wong?
It was Wong.
Connor Wong.
And they treat these guys like, oh, look at this. You're giving up a Cy Young pitcher. You're giving up an MVP. And you got these three chumps.
Right.
Okay. So, but still, what's the alternative?
They
just divert their attention, right? Okay, so this battle, okay, nothing there. Says, so what can we blame and what can we get mad at him for? Well, look what we got in return. Okay, fine. So if you're going to get rid of him, give us something good. Replace him with something good. Not a bunch of babies and one guy has issues off the field.
Your original point, though, is right on. And that is, right now, people dislike the organization. And therefore, they're going to fire away and Henry and everything else. And there are a lot of different factors because they've won 4 championships in 16 years. They've owned the club for 19, all right? And Lou and I grew up here. We know that was incredible when you think of the first 86 years, which Lou and I were around. Well, I was around for a good portion of them. But you know how bad it was. But they're getting the crap beat out of them, and it's a lot of different factors. One of them, we brought this up a couple of weeks ago, John Henry in the Globe biggest mistake he ever made.
Yeah.
Newspaper business is dying. You're tying into yourself politically right now. So people who do not follow the political stance of the Boston Globe are sitting there going, I hate you because of, you know, what this one wrote or that one wrote or that one wrote. You're caught up into that. That was a huge, huge mistake.
There's maggots.
There you go. And I think there are other people that were pissed off that they were diverting their attention to Liverpool and to Roush Racing and all this other stuff. And all we want, because we're parochial here in Boston, is you to give a rat's ass about our interest. And they're businessmen. They're looking. So all of that plays into it. And as we just talked about, John's not good at this. He's not good at standing up and all. And here's one more. And Sean McAdam. I thought, no disrespect, Lou, asked the best question of the day and a perfect follow-up. Because the problem the organization has is they change their direction every few years. So we were caught up in the Dave Dombrowski era very recently here. And so everything was going along with what Dave Dombrowski wanted to do. And because of it, Sean McAdam said, if you knew this, that you had to get under the CBT and you were going to have issues signing Mookie Betts, why did you go out and sign two risky players? Listen to this exchange.
You talked about it being a goal, not a mandate, to get under the CBT for this season, and further added that that had been known to you for more than a year. Given that, why greenlight the spending that went on after last offseason, including $213 million to two pitchers with some durability issues, knowing that Mookie was coming to free agency and that this was going to be something you needed to confront?
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those decisions on those pitchers before these conversations. Mm-hmm. As we've said, we were hoping.
If I may, you did say, we've known for more than a year, was the quote from John. About Sean. Being under the CBT, that was last September.
But we've also said, Sean, that that Warner. Was a goal, not a mandate. We have been under the CBT some of our years. We've been over the CBT in some of our years. And the more important issue for us is what is it that we can do to make the Red Sox strong in 2020, 2021, 2022. These decisions, there are lots of hypotheticals here. We are pleased with the value that we got back from the Dodgers. We might not be having this discussion. We might have proceeded under different sort of scenarios, but we are where we are based on the proposal that we agreed to.
It's a long exchange, but we wanted to let it play out because it was an excellent question, a great follow-up. I can give you the answer.
Go ahead. Well, the answer is simple. We knew we were trading Mookie then. You know, we knew. We had already discussed it. We had already talked to him. We knew how much money he wanted. We knew we weren't going that far. We knew he was going to be traded, and that was going to get us under the CBT. The other one is Chris Sale. Yeah, it was very, very risky. But after talking to him and contract talks, we were able to get the CBT, you know, the annual average down to $25 million, even though we're paying him $30. But as an ownership group, we don't mind spending money. But, you know, the $25 million average annual helped us in the CBT. And when it came to Eovaldi, you know, to be honest, I'm not so sure they did greenlight it. But still, I think it goes back to knowing that Mookie Betts was going to be moved. Because they knew it. I mean, they after sitting down, they knew what he wanted. Exactly. And it wasn't they weren't going to give it to him. So they said, that $30 million's off the books. We know we're going to get under here next year because we have to move him. And, oh, by the way, Haim, you want the job? You have to move him.
Right. And he's taking heat, and he's had nothing to do with this stuff. He's walking in, and there's just baggage left over. But I agree with everything you just said, and the one other thing I would add to it is John probably acted like a good owner and gave rope to Dave Dombrowski to sign Eovaldi, and I'll add Steve Pearson to that because of what they had done the fall before that.
David Dombrowski.
Whatever. And so
here's another piece of honesty that could have been thrown out today, too. You know, you still blame it on media-driven. Right, you came out in September, you talked about it, you said it was media-driven. How about if you just came out and said, yeah, you know what, I'm honest, I said what I said in September, and as the off-season went, I realized that I was cutting the legs out from my GM who's trying to move Mookie Betts, and we lost all sort of leverage. So I turned around and I blamed you.
Yeah, but that would have to be from a man that
happened.
Yeah, but see, again, you have to be secure of your position, and he should be. To me, that's a guy that's strong in his position and is not really worried about what people think. Because everybody, like you're going to make every decision, it's going to be perfect. It's not. Yet there's this allure that it is. And that drives me crazy. Because when I think about the Red Sox, it's like no matter what, when it comes to, you know, ticket sales, viewership, you know, likability, lately it feels like, and especially in regard to the other sports, they're always on the wrong side of cool. Like always. Whatever's cool, they're the opposite.
Why do you think that is?
Whatever's hip, they're opposite. Whatever's new, they're old.
But you know what? You just said it. That's the problem. That's the problem. But it's not a Red Sox problem. That's a Major League Baseball problem.
I know. But I would.
It's the demographics.
That's fine. You can say that all you want. But
no,
but
that's a Red Sox problem.
He enhances it more than any other team, and their persona and the image that revolves around the Red Sox, especially in comparison to the Bruins, who are cooler than the Red Sox, well, to the Celtics, who are cooler, and the Patriots, who are 20 times cooler. It's just, no matter what they do, it's almost like I'm going to fight it. I refuse to look at them and act a certain way or give them the benefit of the doubt because I don't trust them. And it's still like it's like they've never won. People act like they've never won anything.
We've been talking about a perception problem and a PR problem. It really isn't. It's really a reality. It's the problem. That
reality, you know, is the problem.
It is. I mean, because John Henry is who he is. Tom Werner is who he is. And they don't relate. You know, the fans don't relate to him. You know, this is who they are. They get no microphone, you know, press conferences, and they can only be them. And this is it. And, you know, and Sam, you know, is a mouthpiece as well. And it's like, you know, that's who he is as well. He's trying to please everybody and clean things up. It's a reality problem that this ownership group has. You mentioned, like, cool, that the Red Sox and the Bruins, rather, are cool. Well, they're cool because of Cam Neely. You know, and I know people liked it, but they were a complete freaking mess before he showed up as well.
Well, their owner was the most hated owner for many, many years in this town.
And then you
not
ask
even
fan
close,
bases,
by
you know,
the
when
way.
Cam Neely took over, they're like, okay, I feel better now.
Yeah.
You know, and they see him up there, and he's a, you know, he wants to fight everybody still, and he's getting excited, and it's just, you feel better about it. You know, and they don't have that.
That's why the Red Sox are clinging on to Jason Veritek, and they want to get him involved in the organization.
Yep. Might Pedro, be a smart
right,
move.
Because he might make him cool. I think Lou's right. I think Cam Neely changed everything because Bruins fans hated Jeremy Jacobs. Just really hated him. I mean, Harry Sinden.
You never see him anymore.
That's right.
And the Celtics, you know, the Celtics have Wick, who's out there.
Yes.
You know, and they have Danny Ainge, who was part of, you know, the 80s that everybody loved. And the Patriots, listen, they're their own separate entity.
Well, they have Belichick, they have Kraft. So, and they've been consistent for 20 years. But when you look at the success of the Red Sox, more success than any team in Major League Baseball in the last 19 years, how is it that these guys have taken a beating? I think we've given some of the reasons. I want to open up to the phone calls and let people, because no matter what they say, John Henry can sit there and say whatever as he did today.
My favorite player was Stan Musial.
It's all negative. It's all negative towards the Red Sox. So what do people dislike and why won't they accept any of this stuff? We get to all of that and your phone calls coming up at 617-779-7937 next.
OMF. What we need to do here is figure out who these idiots are. And apparently there's three of them.
2 to 6.
How are we going to find these guys?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, back here in OMF at 617-779-7937. Let me get to some of the phone calls. I want to find out what people actually think about all of this, because there's no way they're giving John Henry or the Red Sox a break in all of this. And you look at it, as tough as it has been, a tough offseason, we are still apparently now 2 weeks away. According to the commissioner, it'll be at the end of next week that we're going to get the findings on the Boston Red Sox. And the fact that he came out this weekend and said that some little thing came up and we're going through it and re-interviewing people, that is not a good sign for the Red Sox. I mean, does anybody think that's a good sign? That
what?
That the Red Sox are going to be...
Second interviews?
Yes, going to be exonerated next Friday. Oh, nothing to see
here. So they were almost done. They were almost done, yet they figured out that they had to go back and talk to other people based on interviews that they had done previous.
Because they're fearful that Wall Street Journal or Rosenthal, somebody has something. That's what it's
worth. How do you think Manfred handled himself today?
This weekend?
Yeah, this weekend.
Not well. And the whole idea of we're going to take away old school baseball justice, right, Lou? The unwritten rules. And you're not going to have guys, if guys throw now, what you're going to do is you're going to penalize those guys. My guess is he will suspend those guys.
So I have no idea how that's going to play out.
So we're not suspending anybody for cheating, but what we're doing is if you do something damaging to somebody who cheated in the game, oh, we're going to take care of you.
There will be guys hit, right, in April or whenever. You know, teams may be playing for the first time in June or whatever it might be. I understand because Manfred Baseball, whatever, they put themselves in this very awkward spot. That, I mean, you can't come out and just say, hey, you know, the first time you guys played the Astros, it's okay to drill anybody you want. I mean, you can't come out and say that. You can't start drilling people. But at the same point, there will be pitchers that are just like, you know, that are really pissed about it. Pitchers in their division, pitchers that look at themselves and have a 6 ERA in Houston the last 3 years and a 3.5 somewhere else that sits there and says, you know, if you didn't crush me, you know, in Houston, if they were just normal starts, you know, maybe I get more money in arbitration. Maybe I get a bigger deal. I don't know. Maybe the Twins signed me for 2 years, 22, and not Marwin Gonzalez, who obviously his numbers were skewed. And they take justice in their own hands and they drop a guy. And they're probably going to get suspended for it. You know, so I don't know how. There's going to be some guys that don't care. You know, quite simply come out after the game. Yep, I did. I hit them on purpose. I don't really care. I don't appreciate what they did last year. Right. And they're going to get 10 games.
Right.
And then people are going to be outrageous that, you know, they're getting suspended. The guys that cheated aren't getting suspended. But I also think MLB just can't say, hey, the month of April, drill them as many times as you want. Yeah, get it out of your system.
But what's flooring me is the commissioner comes out and makes those comments, and more players, general managers, managers are coming out now and ripping Houston, saying that their title should be taken away. This is not going away. These are players who are publicly, usually they say it under their breath, they say it privately, anonymously. Nope. They want to be on record. Star players in this league. Mike Trout today takes shots at the Houston Astros. The best freaking player in the game is ripping.
Easy.
Yes.
It's
but,
easy.
But it's bad for baseball. This is a – really, this could be far worse than the steroids issue in the end.
We'll see how it plays out.
The eternal optimist.
Yeah, well, he's also delusional. He's down there.
No.
He smells the grass. Look at the pine tar.
He and Rochie were crawling around out in the outfield earlier today.
I'll say this. In this regard, okay, of course it's not good for the game in general, whatever, but in this regard, we're talking baseball more in the last week or two than we ever have.
Yeah, but not positive.
Buster Olney was telling me their first game is the Houston Astros' first game of the year. You think ratings would be good for that?
Yes, excellent.
Do you think people will be interested now? What's going to happen with the Houston Astros in the month of April and the game? I mean, you know, so
for a short while until summer comes around. Yeah.
It's more than they would have had.
Still, I think in the long shot, you're really working insignificant.
You're really working for the silver lining of this one, and I think it'll be worse.
No, silver lining. I'm just saying. You tell me. I mean, the first month, you're not going to be interested in what the hell goes on in Houston when they face these teams. How about when Mike Fiers is in Houston facing the Astros against Houston? That's not going to be an interesting game. There's not going to be more eyes on the game than there would have been before with Mike Fiers, for Christ's sake.
Is Jess Mendoza doing the game?
Hopefully.
Well, then I'm in.
If all goes well.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. Brock is in Middleborough. Hey, Brock.
How's it going?
Good, Brock.
So, I know why everybody hates the Red Sox right now, and it's actually kind of ironic considering how they feel about the guy, but the Boston Red Sox are Donald Trump. If you were to just look at the Red Sox on paper over the last decade or so, things have been actually pretty good. But every time they get on TV or have a press conference, somehow they make things so much worse for themselves when they don't need to. It's ridiculous. If they were to just never have a press conference, people would think they are so much better than they are because things have actually been pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm not sure of that. I wonder what John Henry would feel that somebody actually thought that the Red Sox were like Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think he would turn into.
I compared him to Donald Trump earlier. So he was on script. Yeah. Fine, when he goes off the script and real questions start flying, and gets himself in trouble.
But we can't have it both ways because we sit here all the time and say, "Where's John Henry? He's disappeared, right? He's nowhere to be found." even on Twitter. He's nowhere to be found. The last two or three years, he sent Tom Warner out there to do most of the interviews, and he stayed in the dark. And now suddenly we want him to come out there when I think he realizes he's not real good at this.
No, he's
well,
not.
Well, here's the thing. It's only once a year.
That he comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's so not good enough.
He comes out. Ah!
But that's not good enough. People want to hear more from him. Because the last call is right. And you've got to state this when you talk about the Red Sox. They have been the most successful team of this century in Major League Baseball. By
yet,
far.
Yet nobody trusts them.
Yankees haven't.
Nobody trusts them.
Been the worst series in a decade.
I would say, do you think the people respect them? Do you think fans respect them?
Locally?
Yeah.
No, I think they're taking a beating here.
They don't trust them.
No, I know, but I think they're two different things, right? I mean, either I think you can respect somebody, and at the same time.
I'm not hearing respect. I'm hearing that they're floundering, they're cheap, they don't know what they're doing. This is an awful trade. Now, again, what people are looking at, you're trading away one of the greatest players in the game today. What people don't realize is, no, you're not. What you're trading away is a contract that has Mookie Betts' name on it, and it's only good for one season.
It's so easy.
That's what you're trading.
It's easier. That's why people get fooled by my magicians all the time. They just can't see the truth, even though it's right smack dab in front of their head.
What about psychics?
Psychics are easy.
Got fooled by one last week.
Ask me more questions.
You're right, though, because it's not like, you know, what's going on in Colorado with old Arenado just signed an 8-year deal. And 1 year into it, he wants out. They're going to trade him. You know, Mookie, you're not trading away a career. You're trading away, a Hall of Famer. Well,
piece of paper.
He's not going to be here. That Hall of Fame career is not going to be here after this year. You know, and it's just not. You know, so it's not like you're trading away. Like, he was going to play in 2021 somewhere else. Now, it's not because, you know, they have to make him walk. They're just not willing to pay what he's looking for.
If you want
to be critical, if you think he should, then that's fine. But I think there's a lot of people out there that watch the game of baseball that see guys on 8, 10, 12-year deals and say, 12 years, man. Like, there's no chance in hell that working out. But you don't want to lose the player now because he's great.
But you know what? You know what actually made me feel better? Because I was sad. I was very beat down and upset and just didn't know how I was going to get on with my day until I found out that Mookie Betts had sent a message, a video message, to all the great fans of Boston.
That was nice.
9 years. Man, you were great to me, Boston. The way you welcomed me in like family. The bonds that will last a lifetime. And a banner that will hang forever. My family and I thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Welcome.
Over the years, I've realized we're all part of something bigger than one person or one city. Though the jersey will change, the mindset will not.
See, that was a shot.
From one title town to another.
What title? Dodgers, what title?
That's how they won a title.
1988.
Los Angeles. It's showtime.
See, I don't know if I'm a huge fan of that because on one hand, it's like, hey, I love you, but oh, later.
Can I just say that?
Hey, I'm back in sunny L.A.
Can I just say this?
You might as well play Randy Newman's song.
The best investment that these athletes can make today, and they make lots of money so they can afford it, is to go out and get yourself one of these digital producers, people that can really slickly put together something. We've seen it with Brady. Brady doesn't do all of that stuff. He's got people who do it for him. Alex Verdugo, get to him and tell him, spend some cash, kid. Go take some of that bonus money you got. Put some money out there to buy yourself a couple of these little videos.
How about the video? Was that like Chopra?
Yeah.
Was that like Brady's guy?
It was well
done. I think
done.
Everybody has the same guy.
You're speaking too fast.
Everybody has. I think how many guys can there be? They all look the same.
Like, but tell them you're speaking too fast. Do you think? Could you even put one of those together?
Me, I could.
Because it's just.
Of course, I could.
Welcome.
Could do
Boston.
Anything. Can't do anything.
Slow down. Don't
from
say it so
one
fast.
Title town to another.
Hold on. What's the title town for L.A.? Excuse me, Mr. L.A. boy.
The last title they won.
88.
No, forget about this, any sport title.
Lakers.
The last title, the one with the Lakers.
Yes.
Last championship came from a Laker.
Right.
But we're playing this music for a reason. in the beginning, it was all, yeah, woe is me. I'm going to miss you. Can't take that banner down. Oh, but you know what? Can't be sorry or unhappy for too long. Palm trees, awesome looking women, Rodeo Drive, Santa Monica Boulevard, San Diego's an hour and a half away. I mean, what else do you want in your life? Traffic, so what? We'll deal with it.
Traffic here, so different.
Look at those trees. Yeah. Look at that bum over there, man. He's down on his knees. That's Mookie. Mookie's like, suck it. And who do you think's right behind him singing chorus? David frickin' Price.
Please. Drew is calling from the state of Pennsylvania. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I want to talk about the CBT, but you mentioned Alex Verdugo.
Yeah.
First thing he needs to get is a PR guy that mentions to him to probably not come to his introductory press conference looking like the absolute nightmare that we expect him to be at this point.
Yeah.
That was a bad look for him. You know, he's already, you know, we're already kind of feeling the kid's a bit of a punk, and he kind of came to the press conference validating that thought.
I hate to say Drew. I hate to say what you're leaning toward, because everybody should be able to dress and act the way they want. But when people are already questioning you, what do the people do when they go to court? They always put the best suit on, right?
And I'm not
saying,
guilty.
And I'm not saying he necessarily should do that. He probably, you know, is just going like he normally goes. But I agree with Drew. It's people are already questioning you, and now you give them a little bit more.
You know, the more I think about this kid, it's like he wasn't charged with anything.
Correct.
Wasn't charged with anything. So why are we beating the crap out of him? Is he a punk? I have no idea.
You don't have to be charged with anything.
But most young kids are a little annoying. I mean, I don't know. Come on. What are we talking about?
I haven't. So I guess Saturday he addressed the media. I flew in down here. I haven't seen him. Actually, I saw him walking out one day, and I'm like, is that him? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, geez. He's got some tats.
Yeah.
Got some like loose little braids going.
Yeah. Jewelry.
Like, where's he from? They're like, Tucson. I'm like, oh.
Tucson. All right.
Yeah.
A lot of jewelry.
So I haven't even seen him.
Bad boy. That's what he wants to
be. I missed the interview. I missed what he looked like.
Yeah, and he was a little he was a little uncomfortable talking about the incident and kind of said how bad it was, and then but he was uncomfortable again. He needs somebody to be the PR agent to sit there and tell him exactly what to say. What do you expect?
I know, but when is it over? When does it end?
When he goes out there and plays, when his back is okay, he goes out there and he plays, and he bats about 315, and he hits about 30 home runs, and then everybody will say they'll
So what if he bats 250 and he has 15 home runs?
Then you're in trouble unless you're like Jackie Bradley Jr. make great catches in the outfield.
Right, that'll give him some break.
I'm sorry, Drew. Go ahead. You get the last word.
No, the CBT part of it. The thing that's frustrating me, you know, because people keep talking about what he would mean towards the CBT and everything like that. It keeps being brought up. I mean, there's no CBA after next season.
Correct.
And from everything I've read, the CBT is a major bone of contention for the players. They view it as a salary cap. And most likely, it's going to be either gone or severely modified.
Right.
So why do we keep talking about like it's something that's going to exist for the next 10 years of Mookie's career?
No, it's an interesting point. We have no idea.
It could go away. I mean, it could change.
We have no idea where Major League Baseball is going here.
Yep. I mean, there's no guarantee that it's going away. You know, like, you're right. I mean, the CBT is what, after 2021, or the CBA, rather. So, I mean, they could make changes. You don't know what it is. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we've seen a lot of players go back to old school and sign these 4 or 5 year deals. You know, like, that would gone away for years. And all of a sudden now guys are doing it left and right. You know, guys like Bregman, because they know that the CBA is coming up. So they're maybe trying to get a jump on it because they don't know what it's going to look like.
Leave it to Major League Baseball that the players will sit there and fight to get rid of CBT so they can hold on to no pitch clock. I don't want a pitch clock. I don't want anybody, you know, monitoring my pitching. All right, 617-779-7937 is our phone number. More people are jumping on the bandwagon of the big fella over here, Christian Fourier.
What do I do now?
He shook up the media world last
week.
And they are jumping all over to his defense. It's unbelievable. This hour has been sponsored by Northeast Men's Health. And no, I did not have an issue on Valentine's Day if you were directing that at me. But had I, would have gone to Northeast Men's Clinic, now open in Dedham, right next door to Legacy Place.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.